Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the podcasts in the world. I'm here with my good buddy, Paul.
Yes, Tom. Super Bowl week. I'm excited. We have our football.
We do have a football on the couch. I feel like it's not even Super Bowl week. Do you feel like it is?
Like it's the USFL title game?
Yeah, it just feels like, I don't know. I feel like Trump has kind of co-opted all of entertainment, news, everything.
Yeah.
He swallowed the internet. He has devoured everything where you don't even realize. I was thinking that the other day, like the SAG Awards, that would have been the first headline in the morning. Who won the awards?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't even the sixth story. It was Trump did this, Trump did that. Trump's people are doing this. We're going to fire them. Bannon's going crazy. And now it's like Super Bowl week. It should be like crazy Super Bowl stuff all week long.
I didn't hear anything.
Nothing. Not a peep.
Tom Brady got hookers. Nobody even heard about
Nobody
it.
Nobody has a clue. My daughter had a disturbing stat about the Super Bowl. She came home. I like when kids come home from school with horrible stats on things you enjoy. She said something like that the amount of human trafficking during the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. That is true. I heard that.
It, like, spikes. It's, like, the biggest week of, or 2 weeks of human trafficking because they're getting so many prostitutes
right
into the city where they hold the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Can that be true?
It is true.
It's true?
I've heard that. And I think it's happened at least two or three times that players have not played in the Super Bowl because they got busted with hookers.
So what is the number of hookers that are going into Houston? How many people are looking for sex to pay for during that week? Who's there for the whole week?
How many guys that are football fans that aren't in a relationship? There's a lot.
Well, that right there is your first flaw, that aren't in a relationship. I mean, any...
Well, yeah, that's true.
It's just how many men are in this place. I wonder how many bodies actually go to a city for Super Bowl. I get it. It's big. I get it. It's one of the biggest. But that... Are you telling me that so you're telling me that of the working prostitutes, we still need more. We need more that we have to traffic them in.
Well, the high-end ones will come in because there's big money, you know?
Right.
Like the ones from Vegas. I don't know about the ones coming from other countries. Maybe that was what the ban was for. Maybe Donald Trump's smarter than we think.
Isn't the world a bizarre place?
Yeah.
Like you're just going along thinking, okay, I wonder if Tom Brady's going to win. And there's actually like some cargo truck filled with girls from some crazy place that are like human slaves being brought in to a Hyatt hotel.
Right. Football game.
I mean, isn't it bizarre to you that there is this undercurrent of evil stuff happening all the time?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And you just don't know it.
Here we are, right? Right now. We're doing a little podcast. We're saying hello to our friends on Facebook Live. We're enjoying the day. It's sunny in California.
Yes.
The weather's finally broke. It's about 80 degrees. We're having a good time. There's jelly beans on the desk. You've got your Diet Coke. Having a swell time on this afternoon. Okay, that's our reality. Just under that, there's somebody and his buddy who are tweaked out on meth, running probably four homes away, trying to get into the basement to steal somebody's jewelry. You know what I mean?
Somebody's coming down off heroin right now and needs to find it by...
And needs a fix. And somebody else is being put into the back of a van to be taken to the Super Bowl. It's just... And you just hope that you don't run into that layer.
Yeah.
You just hope that you can maintain on this level.
Yeah, it's like Pulp Fiction. You just hope that two guys don't show up at your house and want to clean out a dead body out of a car in your garage.
I guess you're always just one beat away from the evil stuff.
You're the guy that should have been in that movie. when Sam Jackson and
I should have played the Harvey Keitel role, the fixer, the cleaner.
No, the Quentin Tarantino one. They show up at the guy's house.
Oh, right.
And you got your Tesla, and you're like, you can't clean that car. I got my Tesla. It's plugged in. It's charging.
Oh, that's so terrible. Well, good to see everybody. I'm sorry to get off on such a weird Super Bowl note, but it's just puzzling to me that that's, that you know. And, I mean, look, and so am I supposed to then not watch the Super Bowl? Am I supposed to say I can't watch Tom Brady and have nachos on Sunday?
It already makes me think about gambling. Like, how many, is there a player that's going to get busted for getting a prostitute this week?
Yeah.
There's got to be odds on that, right? They put odds on everything.
There's got to be people who are like sending, if you're going against the Patriots, you want the Patriots to lose. There's got to be guys with money who are hiring a prostitute and saying, go to Tom Brady's door. Right?
Right.
There's got to be people like sending them like weapons.
Yeah. Sabotaging the bus.
Or just like you just meet him in the hotel. Everything's like a spy novel. You mean,
yeah.
He just wants to go to his room with his playbook. And then the girl just happens to get on the elevator at the last second.
Right.
And starts flirting and thinks it's just a normal girl. No, it's a girl for hire. Set up by the opposing team.
That would be great if somebody actually cheated to screw those guys over instead of them always deflating balls and stuff, you know?
Don't you think everybody cheats, though?
Nobody had a videotape library in a secret room like Belichick had.
Yeah, I guess he was. I guess he was a little bit more hardcore.
He had like a bat cave. He was a secret villain. He just had like a projector that nobody knew about with like snuff films and videos of the Jets offense.
Just win at all cost. We should do that with our podcast. Just like steal other people's playbooks.
Yeah. Just take people down.
Scorched earth.
Sabotage.
He doesn't. I don't know. I think they all kind of cheat. I mean, remember when the Steelers won the Super Bowl and it was like that last and Roethlisberger like stretched over the goal line to score the final touchdown.
Right.
And he admitted after, he was like, "Yeah, I was down, but I, you know."
Yeah, that was before all the replay stuff could.
Yeah, he was like, "Yeah, I was down, but I had to make it look like I was, you know." Everybody's cheating.
Well, it is weird how many things happen. Like, remember that Steelers Super Bowl that, like, Franco Harris caught the immaculate reception or whatever? And there's, like, no video of it. Like, they have...
Oh, the immaculate reception?
Yeah, they just show it, like, bouncing off the... Not the one in the end zone, but the one that, like, ricocheted off the...
Yeah, where he gets it, like, towards the ground.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's only, like, one camera angle because the guy's during the game.
Oh, but we've seen it.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, they missed that, like, during the game.
Yeah.
It's like, would that ever happen now?
No, now it's, but it's too much now. Now you can see everything. It's just, now it's like, you can't get away with anything. You can't get away with that. You can't get away with illegal prostitutes from Somalia in the Houston Hyatt.
Well, Houston's already known for, like, strip joints. It's like Tampa, I think.
That's really?
One of those, yeah, that's like one of those, like, the NBA... They did something about the NBA teams, like, everyone's record is terrible, like, playing against the Rockets because all the players go out when they're in Houston and, like, Atlanta. Those are, like, the big club.
It's because it's boring.
Probably.
It's because it's a boring place. It doesn't happen in places that have more stuff to do. Thomas Conger on Facebook Live is saying that he's literally 4 days into making his sourdough starter. Nice, Thomas. Good job. I have my dough right now is rising.
Oh.
The starter's been fed for the last 2 days. The dough now is rising. It'll be shaped before I go out to my show tonight around 8 o'clock at night, put in the fridge. It'll stay there for the final proof, and then in the morning, pow, two loaves of bread.
Can you shape it like a football for Super Bowl week? Or is that looked down upon in the bread world?
Are you trying to make a joke about
it's serious business?
Yeah, it's serious business. I guarantee you, Thomas right now just signed off. All right, we're going to say goodbye to Facebook Live. We just want to let you guys get a peek at the beginning of the podcast. Go to iTunes or SoundCloud or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts, and you can listen to the rest. We love you all on Facebook Live.
And see us in Minneapolis.
And now you're gone. Yeah, oh, that's right. We're heading to Minneapolis. Oh, my God. Well, here's the thing. It's actually the gods are working with us because it is 80 degrees here in Southern California, the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Look, we shouldn't live here unless we're on a TV show or enjoying hot weather. It's the only two reasons to be here. The traffic is ridiculous. It's filled with soot. There's no other reason to be here unless you're starring in a CSI or you're able to go to the beach. And this week, it makes sense to live here because you even forget that there's people cold someplace.
And miserable, yeah.
So what are we going to do? We're going to bring a little bit of that sunshine to Minneapolis on Friday night. We'll be playing the Women's Club, and then Women's Club Theater, and then we go to Red Wing, the home of Work Boots.
Yes.
On Saturday night.
Right. Two nice theaters.
I forget the name of that one.
It's Sheldon.
The Sheldon Theater. Yeah. I believe we're almost sold out, which is good news. So hopefully you can still get in, but I think there are still tickets available for both of them. Balcony seats. I'm excited to go to Minneapolis this weekend. I like it when it's super, super cold.
Last time we went there, I think it was like really hot, right?
Yeah, it was the summertime, and all the fish died in the lakes. I was concerned that people weren't going to come to the show, and we got there, and it was packed.
Yeah.
And it turned out that whatever fish they go for...
They couldn't get it that week.
Walleye or whatever it is, they all died. So people didn't go to the lakes and came to our show, which was pretty convenient for us. So, but this week... No, they're just going to be cold and miserable, so you got to come to our show.
No football. They don't have anything going on.
And then we got to get back in time for the
game. Oh, for the game, yeah.
Where are you watching the game?
Not sure yet. I'm trying to think, because we'll get back at like noontime. I think the game is 3:30.
Do we get home at noon?
Something like that. 11:30, 12.
Ooh, we're going to be traveling early.
Not too bad.
It's gonna be crazy. I'm so excited. All right, now I'm starting to get into it. Now I'm not letting. What do you think Trump's gonna do during the Super Bowl?
He's gonna cancel the halftime show.
I'm thinking it's him on a blimp, just passing out gold nuggets to everybody in Houston.
Will he even go? You think?
No, he doesn't. He's not gonna. I think he'll do a flyby in his blimp. With the big Trumps on the side. And then, I don't know. Maybe, I mean, he's got to do something. It's the biggest audience there is.
I don't think he wants to go outside. I wouldn't if I was him.
Is he just staying in the White House this whole time?
I think so.
Really? He's just bunkered down?
He's just been showing, like, going outside to say something and then going back inside and then telling everybody else, tell these guys I hate them. Like firing people. He fired two people last night.
Fired people that didn't agree with him. He's really, he's a busy guy. He's got a lot to do.
It's pretty negative, though. Like, there's no, like, hey, Donald Trump threw a dinner for so-and-so, and...
You really would think, the way that he is, he's an egomaniac. You would think that he would be like, I can have everybody love me in 1 second.
Right.
And just do this.
Do something nice.
Yeah, you would think just one nice thing and everybody would... I mean, this is kind of his strategy. It's the strategy of a lot of aggressive business people. Mm-hmm. They abuse the hell out of the person they're dealing with.
Right.
And they get back on their heels like, oh my God, he's a monster. We're not going to get anything. And then he gives you a little and you think he's great.
Yeah.
It's kind of like an abusive relationship.
Right.
You act like a complete a-hole and then, but it's okay. We'll have a nice dinner together. Oh, he's right. Nicer than I thought. Maybe he's getting ready to do that.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or maybe he's just going to get in a blimp and ride right over the Super Bowl into the stadium and start firing on everybody.
He is like a fat, unlikable Mr. Burns. Like, he's just...
It really would take... No, it would take so little for him. It almost is like he's not tone deaf. Like, he really does have a sense of what excites people. But I think he is under the delusion that he's exciting more people than he is making upset.
And he really gets obsessed with people who don't like him because he just tweets stuff and you're going to get hundreds of people saying mean stuff to you, even if you're a marginal celebrity. So being the president and saying something, you're just going to have 1,000 trolls just tweeting stuff at you no matter what you say. And he's going...
Do you think he reads his Twitter feed?
I think so. I think that's all he does.
You think he like scrolls through? So like if Paul Morrissey says, you're being a big fat jerk, he'll read that?
Oh, yeah. You haven't seen those stories where like he'll block like a 17-year-old high school kid from Minnesota or something like that? Yeah.
Really?
He does, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So you know he's reading them if he's blocking these people.
And if it's like him reading them, though, it could be somebody else.
But even if it's like a 16-year-old kid saying, I think Trump's a big, fat blowhard, it's like something as like insulting as that. He's just like...
What's interesting in watching the protests about the Muslim ban thing is all the cities that are the places where you think you would be... likely for an attack, you know, like Chicago and New York and San Francisco. All the main places are the ones that are like, please let them come. And all the people that don't want them to come are the places that terrorists don't even know exist.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? It's like the people who are in the epicenter of all that stuff are just like, we have no fear. And the people who are locked off and only get their information from television have a lot more fear.
Right. And
it's all
like,
fear. I feel like that's this the whole mantra. And, you know, maybe he really truly sees the world that way. Maybe he sees the world as a hateful, super scary place. And that's why he's painting that vision for everybody. But I don't think most people think the world is that way.
Yeah. And I think no matter what your beliefs are, when there's people doing something like really nice, like the... Like, one of the stories was about, like, I think it was Ohio. There's this lady who, like, got 150 Syrian people, like, all their families, and got them relocated here and got them jobs. And, like, they've been really productive. And,
yeah.
And, like, because of that ban, like, 3 of the families are held up.
Right.
So it's just like,
yeah.
This is paperwork that we spent years doing. Mm-hmm. All these people did all the right things that you're supposed to do.
Right.
And sometimes you can only come to this country during 60 days or 90-day thing, and now there's a ban for that time, so now you have to start all over again. So it's just the amount of stuff that he screwed up just writing this thing willy-nilly.
Well, that's
like,
the thing. It's like if it made sense, you'd be all for it, you know, but the vetting is already super strict. The people that have already attacked us were people that were like born here and that were here for... years.
Yeah.
It's not like these people are sneaking in and attacking us every day. It's not going down like that, especially from these countries. And it's like, so look, I'm all for it if it makes sense. If something doesn't make sense, and you're just doing it for political means, then, you know, then what's the sense? And that's what this is. This isn't really protecting anybody.
And nobody knew. Like, that's why there was all this confusing, because even the border executives, like, the Homeland people were reading the White House website and refreshing it as he was writing it, because they didn't even get the directive of what this thing was.
Yeah.
It's just like really unorganized and not like you'd think with all the business stuff that he has these people, like really smart people to go to for advice and stuff like that, but he just doesn't. I think he just...
No, he's just shooting from the hip.
Yeah.
He's just literally just... It's like if you were to become president, like if you and I... I'll give you the presidency and I'll be your vice president. Mm-hmm. And we just went in and we're like, yeah, well, you know what? We're going to give everybody off on Wednesday.
Yeah.
We can do that? Dude, just write it.
Right.
Get one of those books and those big pens. Come on, write it down. Give everyone off on Wednesday. And you just do it and you sit and wait and it's like, holy cow, it really is happening.
Right.
We really have that much power. We really have that much effect on people's lives. It really, that's what he's doing. He's
well, it's like, all confidence because, you know, he's had this crazy confidence about that everything's going to work out. And then it has so far. So, like, what do you know, it's like if you start doing comedy and, like, all of your jokes worked the first night. And then you're just like, oh, this is easy. I'm just
going
to.
Yeah, I'll just keep going. I don't think, I don't know. I think he's got to calm down. Just calm down. Just do a couple things decent. That's what's so crazy is that he could just be like, he could just say, you know what? I know the Muslim thing really bothered everybody. Let's all take Thursday off.
Right.
Let's take, Let's take Thursday off, regroup. I really apologize if everyone got excited. I think it's right, but I'm giving everybody Thursday off so we can just relax and reboot.
Yeah.
Everyone would be like, woo, he's the best. He won't give anything out.
Yeah, now it's like what was the thing? Oh, he's gonna try to get a Supreme Court person today. So that's like another.
Yeah, he's got a lot to do. Islamic jihadist immigrants that killed Americans, 2. Being shot by another American in 1 year, 11,000. So, like, how are you really going to make us safe?
Well, the worst one of that one is the toddlers.
Armed toddlers?
Toddlers with guns.
21.
Yeah. And guess what? They always kill their parents.
21 people killed by armed toddlers. That's 21.
And well, it's all their parents. It's always they get find the gun and they shoot their mom.
And shoot
their
mom or dad. Well, yeah. It's mom or dad's gun, right?
Right.
So that's nature taking care of itself, isn't it?
But it's great that that's a category.
Yeah.
Toddlers armed, with guns.
Armed toddlers is really a gun. And
it's got to be a movie.
But weird, lightning killed 31 people.
Wow.
In 1 year. So lightning, terrorists, 2. And then armed toddlers, 21. People struck by lightning, 31, which is pretty high. I'm going to say, you know, you think that's a low number, but that's a dramatic thing. Like, do you hear Bob got struck by lightning? Everyone's going to hear that in the state.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's because it's always out there. It's always around.
And
do you know the rule? Okay, so let's say you and I are standing outside right now and lightning storm comes. What's your move?
You go in the car, right? Because it's got rubber tires?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a good one. No car around. We're playing baseball. Lightning storm comes.
Hold on to the coat hanger.
In the coat hanger in the dugout? Go under a tree or do you...
No, you're not supposed to go to a tree.
Don't go under a tree.
Yeah.
Why not?
I don't know. I think that was the old wives' tale in my neighborhood when I was growing up. They said a kid got struck by lightning in the park.
Because he was under a tree? So yeah. You're just supposed to lay out, stand up in the middle of the field?
I think that was just to get everybody to come home.
If you absolutely cannot reach shelter during a lightning storm, do everything you can to minimize your risk. Get out of the water. Paul, get out of the water.
The water.
Spread out. Spread yourself out. Remove your backpack. I have a backpack. Assume the lightning crouch.
Come on.
The lightning crouch.
That's a thing?
Be alert for imminent lightning strike and wear rubber boots. So you got to get out of the water, put on your rubber boots, toss your backpack, get into the crouch, and make sure your rubber boots are on. That doesn't make sense.
And what was the thing with... They used to make actual lightning rods too, right?
22 News is working for you with safety tips for when to find yourself outdoors during a lightning storm. Most people know that when there is lightning, they shouldn't be outside. Yeah, we know that. But if you are caught outside, here's a few tips. When there is lightning and you're outside, the most important thing to do is seek shelter in a sturdy place, such as a building or a car. You'll be safe in a car as long as you don't have contact with the metal outside. Do not seek shelter under a tree or near tall objects. Lightning will search for the tallest point in the area to strike at, and if you're in the area, you'll be in danger. With that in mind, you don't want to be the tallest thing in the area, so don't go to an open field or park. But I guess if you are, you got to lay down and be lower than anything else around you.
Oh, I see.
So, like, if you and I were out in a field...
So, dig a hole.
It would be my job, and don't take offense to this, but it would be my job to lay on the ground and ask you to stand up and look around.
Right.
It's also important to stay away from anything that conducts electricity, like fences or power lines. This is all very basic stuff. And you don't want to be near water. That's all fine. All right. Lawnmowers kills more people than lightning.
I see that.
69.
But killed?
Killed. Dead. 69 Americans killed last year from lawnmowers.
Did they
now,
just explode?
I am going to say, in support of fighting the terrorists, how do we know that the terrorists aren't arming these toddlers and killing Americans with lawnmowers?
Yeah.
If I was a terrorist and I wanted to keep, I don't want to go out. I'm not one of the terrorists that wants to blow himself up. I want to keep working. I wouldn't do something big in the name of Allah and you know, make a big stink. I would quietly walk around town with my landscaping business.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, hello, Mrs. Johnson. I'd like to cut your lawn for you. Okay, I'll give you $5 a week. Okay, that's perfect. I'll do it for you. Miss Johnson, do you want me to move this rubber frog? I'll get it. Wow.
So you think it's people run over by the blades? That's how you think they're dying?
Yeah, they're killed by lawnmowers. How else are you going to get killed?
By it exploding or something?
What?
Because it's gasoline. It's an engine.
No, come on. Exploding lawnmowers? No, these blades are chopping people's heads off.
So you think there's just some hippie dude falls asleep in the park and the riding lawnmower guy just runs him over?
Yeah, like you go to clean it. You like you reach underneath to clean it. When I was a kid, my father made me cut the lawn way before I should have been cutting it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like three. And he didn't want to cut the lawn anymore. We had big hills in our yard. And me and my little buddy would have to push the lawnmower at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would, you know, it had like a handle, but it had like a little handle halfway up.
Yeah.
Kind of. He would grab the little one because he was smaller than me. And I would grab the big one and we would push it up the hill. And there was a lot of times when it would kind of like arch up and back. You know, because we're going uphill and we're too weak and,
yeah.
To keep it going. And there were plenty of times when the thing was like upside down with the blades spinning like crazy. And neither of us died, but we could have.
You know what the most fun part about that was when you first get to use the lawnmower? We had one of those, like a pebble driveway.
Uh-huh.
So you just push it across the pebbles and just start shooting rocks all over the place.
I wonder if that would be considered a lawnmower death if you hit someone with a lawnmower rock.
I just remember that was the most fun you could have as like a kid when you first find out that you can break stuff. And it's like
the mower spinning blades. This is from a lawyer's website.
Okay.
The mower spinning blades can cut you and the other moving parts that may crush body parts or pull loose clothing into the machine, and the weight of the machine can crush a careless operator. You know what I would do? I would take these lawnmowers and go after the armed toddlers.
Wait, so the weight of it?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, like those big ones, like, did you ever work for a landscaping company
when you're
in high school and you had those big ones with the handles?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things were big and heavy.
Right.
You could squish somebody with that.
Oh, okay. So that's you're hitting somebody else with it.
Yeah, you're not doing it to yourself. I think a lot of these lawnmower things are you doing it to other people.
I think we need to look into this lawnmower stuff. It all sounds a little sketchy to me. I think
lawnmower deaths are on the rise. That's what this guy said in 2013. A man was killed by a riding lawnmower.
What's the death of a man killed in a riding lawnmower accident?
Chapman, it's a task we all take to in warmer months. With it, mowing injury, even death increase.
Tonight, a lawn equipment specialist walks us through how to safely maintain your yard. Micaiah Thurman has the story. Micaiah?
Tim, Calvin, just like summer follows spring, lawnmower sales increase as the warmer months approach. But with the new equipment, it's important to make sure you operate it safely.
The grass is growing. That's a sure sign of spring. And with growing grass comes the need for lawn equipment.
Yes, everybody is anxious to get outside and get their lawns all cleaned up for springtime.
This is just local news trying to make shit up because they have nothing else to talk about.
So, yes, this is our busiest time of year.
But
before you purchase a new John Deere, Groot House encourages shoppers to be knowledgeable about safety precautions. Groot House is the owner of Homestead Lawn and Tractor Company. He says there are three common types of lawnmower injuries.
Keeping limbs, arms, and legs from out from underneath a mower.
This is stupid. It's all basic stuff. You know, they're spinning blades, and you're going to chop your head off and bleed to death on the sidewalk. Or you're going to be cutting the lawn at a baseball game for children, and you're all high, and you press that one button, and it goes through the dugout and kills the whole team.
I think this is more dangerous than any of us ever thought.
It's totally dangerous. All right, lawnmower 69 deaths. Do you want to guess what's higher than that? Coming in at 264 deaths in 1 year?
Wait, what?
264 deaths.
Uh-huh.
Lawnmowers was 69. Higher than that is 264. Are you on your phone during the podcast?
No, I found the worst lawnmower death ever.
You did?
Yeah.
What is it?
During halftime of a Jets-Patriots NFL game.
What?
In 1979, two fans were catastrophically injured by a flying lawnmower during the halftime show.
What?
The halftime show consisted of a display put on by the Electronic Eagles of the Radio Control Association of New York. Daring maneuvers by model airplanes were in...
this is not true.
Fortunately, this crash foreshadowed the horror that was to come. Yeah.
This is not true.
There's a plane shaped like a push lawnmower went out of control, looped several times in the air before nosediving into the crowd.
That is so not true. You are the source for fake news. What did you say the other day that was
fake
news?
No, this is on a lawyer's website. They're talking about how they defend the cases.
We would have seen that if that happened during the Super Bowl.
Well, it's 1979. So.
But still, every time there was a Super Bowl, this week, at least once, someone would bring up, remember the halftime show where that guy got his head chopped off? Remember the lady in the Thanksgiving Day parade that was killed by, that was injured by Cat in the Hat? The Cat in the Hat balloon knocked into a lamppost and it knocked this.
Oh, right, right, yeah.
She got all messed up. Well, they talk about that every year because it was such an unusual thing. During the Super Bowl week, if flying lawnmowers were chopping people's heads off, someone would bring that up.
I think they just stopped using that halftime act.
I'm putting that down as fake news.
No,
the next thing, 264 deaths. That's a big jump from lawnmowers.
Mm-hmm.
Lawnmowers is 69. Big jump. The third greatest cause of deaths in the United States, being hit by a bus. Hit by a bus.
I would think that would be more up, especially New York.
That's a lot. I know. One time I was walking, I lived up on the Upper East Side. In a tiny little apartment. It was, I was during the time of my life when I was sleeping on a futon. And, you know, you couldn't make coffee in the apartment. It was so disgusting and small. So I had to go out every morning to grab my coffee, which is the great part about living in New York. You really don't need anything in your apartment. You just get up and go get coffee for
right.
a dollar. And, I walked up and there was this great bagel place. Why don't I live like this anymore? I would walk up, get a coffee and a egg and cheese, bacon, egg and cheese on a bagel. It was probably 5 pounds of bacon, 3 pounds of eggs, and a bunch of cheese on this big ass bagel.
Yeah.
Oh, it was, and the whole thing, probably $4. It was a real treat. I look forward to it. I didn't eat it every day, but man, I was excited when I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk up from on 89th Street, I'd walk up to, 3rd Ave, and that ran north, and I came up, and there was a big Coca-Cola truck,
mm-hmm.
huge, like, you know, those big ones that brings all the stuff around, and it's there, and an ambulance is pulling away. The truck had come up, not just, you know, on the up to the curb, not on the curb, just where it normally does, and squashed a lady right in front of my bagel shop.
Wow.
You know, like a water balloon, mm-hmm. just steamrolled and dead, gone, truck gets pulled away, that gets pulled away, they hose it down. It's just a normal street.
Yeah.
If I had come up an hour later, no clue.
Right.
No clue. Just standing there, hailing a cab, not knowing what just happened right there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times when you're in New York and you're just like, you realize if you just leaned forward, that bus would smack you, right?
Right.
Right? Literally. Yeah. My father talks about that. When he was a young businessman in New York, and a guy like grabbed him and pulled him back.
Oh, really?
And a bus like phew, right by his nose. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Could have been squashoed.
Yeah, well, one time, I think it was near your old neighborhood in New York, I was doing my student teaching at the school, and a guy fell off the building. They said he didn't jump, but he mm-hmm. just fell out the balcony. And it was like literally in front of the entrance of the school. So he's covered in everything, and all the kids are looking at it.
Oh.
And you're just like, come on, there's nothing to see here. And the guy's like, yeah, there's a dead body. Of course there's something to see.
Yeah, when do we see that? There sure is something to see. Well, 264 people killed by being hit by a bus. I would have to say a lot more people hit by a bus and survive.
Must be.
You could probably double that number.
Yeah.
Maybe even triple it of a bunch of people like, dude, Donnie got hit by a bus. No, he's all right. He's down at Davies. We're going to go see him. Right? There's got to be a lot of people that just, oof, ow. It's so shitty.
Yeah, that's a...
There's also a lot of con men, too. When I was living in New York, I was walking across, I think, like 79th Street, and a guy was walking. I may have told you the story. A guy was walking. I'm new to the neighborhood. This like kind of an older guy, not real old, but I don't know, in his 50s or 60s. And he like stumbles and gets like knocked by this bus, like just like the corner of the bus. I'm mm-hmm. horrified. He's laying on the ground. I come running over, and nobody's like really helping. I'm like bend down. I'm like, are you okay? You're right? And he's like, it's a little weird the way he's reacting. Like he's not like really hurt, but he's not getting up either.
Yeah.
And cop comes over. He's like, he does that all the time. He's a con man. He's trying to sue the bus company for money. Get out of here, Joe. I got hit that time. Come on, Joe. Move it. Isn't that crazy?
Jesus. Did you ever get scammed at all in New York?
Yeah. One time, it was such a cartoon kind of scam. I literally was attacked by two pickpockets.
Oh, yeah.
From a cartoon, like from a 1950s cartoon. It was two guys, African-American guy, one really tall, like 6'3", super, super skinny. His little sidekick, probably 5'2", kind of round. They're in goofy pimp kind of clothes, like mm-hmm. big collars, colors. It was literally like from another time. It was like you would think that these guys were playing characters from a bad blaxploitation film from the 50s or 60s.
Yeah.
And I'm carrying a box. It was when I had to go get my videotapes for my act. Like in order to get work as a comedian, you would work really hard to get someone to videotape your set.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to you'd work forever and try and get a good set. You'd hire a video guy.
Right.
You would run like 10 guys that one night. And his name was Pete Klusman, was the guy at the time. Strange dude. And he would videotape all the acts. And then you would get your 5-minute set. And then you would send that to people and try and get work.
Mm-hmm.
Say like, look, check out my tape. I'm good.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I had to. It's literally this is like almost. It's like the olden days. You had to go to his office and give him money,
mm-hmm.
and then he would give you a box of 30
copies,
tapes, and then you'd walk home with this box and then send them out in the mail to people. Like now, you would just be like, off my phone. Here's my set, and just send it to him. Ridiculous. Anyway. I'm on the subway, and I'm holding the box, and I'm in a leather jacket. I'm holding my box of tapes, and these two characters get on the train.
Mm-hmm.
And they look just like odd. They don't know what they're doing. As soon as it starts to go, oh no, before it starts to go, everyone's bustling and getting in, they kind of knock into me. And I'm wondering, why are they knocking into me? There's plenty of room on this train. Yeah. And then I feel them tugging. He's a bad pickpocket. He's not able to get my wallet out of my jeans. I'm holding the box. I'm trying to hold on. And I grab my wallet with my other hand. And I'm like, hey. Hey, what are you doing? And the door's shut. And now we're standing there looking at each other. And I'm like, people saw what was happening. They know what was happening. I'm like, you tried to pickpocket me.
Yeah.
And they're just like, no, you know, just kind of, and they're like just standing there. Now we got to go to the next stop together.
Right.
And I'm holding a box. I can't really do anything. I have the next stop. I'm just like shocked that they would do it. I don't know what to do. So the guy has a bag with him. And I am just confused. Like, what, how do I get him back? What do I do? Mm-hmm. I feel I can't get him arrested. I can't. So as the doors are shutting, I reach out. They're staying on the train. I'm getting off. I reach out and hook his bag with my finger and try to steal his bag. And the doors shut on it, and he pulls it back. And then they start yelling, thief, thief. And then the door shut, and he took off.
That would be funny if you got his bag and then it was just all other people's wallets.
Right.
And then
it's all my other stuff.
And then you're the thief. Yeah. Yeah, that happened. I was in Paris on the subway, and it was the same thing, like two guys out of a movie, like just a weird mustache. And he kept like hitting my back pocket.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a front wallet guy.
Right.
So he just kept doing it, and I was even looking at it as he was doing it. I was like, it's not back there. Like, it was almost like it catches you so off guard that they're so bad at it.
It's amazing. Like, it always fascinates me, like, that people can, and it's not just the movies, like, people can, like, take stuff off of you, like a watch and replace it, that kind of thing. Maybe it is just the movies. I've never seen
There's a couple guys, this kid, Ben Seidman, who's like a magician.
Yeah, he's great.
And he has all these videos on where he's doing, like, a magic trick, and then at the end, like, you don't even notice until you watch the video again that he takes the guy's watch. And
getting your
watch
off is pretty insane.
That is nuts.
That's insane that you'd able to do that. That you can be that distracted that just put someone's focus over here and take the thing over there.
Right.
It's pretty weird that our brain works that way.
Well, the other scam that I got was this guy bumped into me on the subway and pulled out these, like, glasses that were, like, pulverized. Like, I mean, if you smashed him with a hammer, it would be that white, smoky, like, looking thing. It wasn't like one crack or anything like
right
that. And he's like, hey man, you broke my glasses. And I was like on this platform, like, alone with him, basically, after we got down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of, you know, he was like, yeah, you owe me for the glasses. And you're pretty sure, like, oh, he's just gonna try to rob me either way.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it was one of those New York days where you're just like, you've had it.
Uh-huh.
And you're just like, dude, I don't have time and I don't have any money. So
move it.
So, and that's a lot of times it just kind of disarms them too. Like, they think you're just going to be like a white kid that's scared to.
Yeah. Well, know. I mean, it's, you know, it's like sales calls and stuff. It's like, if you're just aggressive with people, you will get them to keep talking to you. Mm-hmm. Like, when you watch, like, we were someplace and some guy came up and, I think I was at lunch. Maybe I was at lunch with my daughter. I don't know. I was at lunch and some guy came up and was like, hey, can you donate to that? I'm like, no, not right now. And he just moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And the next person, he was like, hi, can you donate to? And they just didn't cut him off.
Mm-hmm.
And he let him say two more words and he had them.
Right.
It was like, can you let me donate to the school charity that did? And now he's running and he's going to keep talking. And now they're trapped by his words and they can't break in. You really, if you don't shut it down immediately, mm-hmm. they can just get into you and you're caught in the scam.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And you always try to, like, I remember when they first do that, I remember the guys, like, at the gas station be like, yeah, I need $5 for the gas. And then I'm like, well, the toll for this bridge is like 15. You don't have that either. He's like, oh, yeah. Could you give us money for that? And it's like, you know, he doesn't have a car, you know? It's just like, and you're like trying to.
I told you that they said that all these people that panhandle off the off ramps, off of the freeways here, mm-hmm. are gypsies.
Oh, really?
It's like a network of gypsies, and you'll see them there with their sign, and they're there, and they rotate, and then they'll go get in their car that they park a little ways away drive home. Yeah. And this is the selfish part of me that now I consider them all gypsies.
Yeah.
It kind of gives me the out to not feel bad and have to give money.
Just say, hey, tell Bob I said, hey.
Yeah.
I know you guys know each other.
You gypsies. Here's the one stat in this list that makes me think that this is not legit.
Mm-hmm.
That this might be fake news.
About lawnmowers?
About all the deaths. So we have 2 killed by immigrants in 1 year. Armed toddlers, 21. Lightning, 31. Lawnmower, 69. Hit by bus, 264. The second greatest cause? Falling out of bed. 737 deaths in 1 year.
What?
Yeah.
Falling out of bed.
That has to be all old people.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course.
You know when you're old and your bones are just...
Breaking,
and you have no muscle left, and just... It's kind of like jumping off of a building.
Right.
You're just like, if I just roll, maybe this will be over.
I don't know about falling out of bed. I would, if you told me stairs, I'd believe it. Like, you always hear about people slipping down the stairs or something.
Or drowning
like that.
In the bathtub. How's drowning in a bathtub not on here? When I was a kid, that was like the big one that always got everybody.
Oh, really?
Well, maybe they just said it so I wouldn't drown in the tub. But yeah, it was that you could drown in your own bathtub, that people drown in their own bathtub. Or electrocute themselves. Why isn't that on this list?
Yeah, that's what
I thought.
How
are we going from armed toddlers to falling out of bed?
It all started with lightning.
I'm starting to think this is... Maybe Trump's right. Maybe we have to keep everybody out because falling out of bed. Now, again, if I was a terrorist and I wanted to keep working, I would just sneak into people's homes and push them out of bed.
Right.
One by one.
Just itch their noses so they have to move.
They put their hand in water. Did that ever work? I never. When we were kids, that was the thing. Like if you were sleeping over someone's house, whoever fell asleep first... You can make him wet the bed by putting his hand in water.
Right. I don't think it worked. I think basically you just ended up pouring the water on the person anyway.
And punching him in the face and going back to bed. I mean, drawing on people was always easy to do, of course. Now they must be really heinous. Now they must post stuff about you.
Right.
If you fall asleep.
Shave one eyebrow. That's always a half an eyebrow.
Half an eyebrow.
There's no coming back from that. That takes months.
That takes months. Yeah, no one's gonna be your friend with half an eyebrow. That one never really worked. Then if like you put shaving cream on their hand and then tickle their nose and then they put the shaving cream on their face, that's always a hoot.
Right.
They never really happened. I always fell asleep first because I was always with older kids. I used to wet the bed a lot, but I didn't wet the bed at sleepovers.
I think
I was so hyper aware. I also sleepwalked a lot.
Yeah?
I was a sleepwalker. Yeah. I wasn't allowed to sleep in a lot of people's... I wasn't allowed to go to a lot of sleepovers when I was like 5, 6, 7, around that age. I would sleep over a kid's house once, and then they'd get a call from... the parents, and I couldn't sleep over again because they would just catch me. I would get up and I would just wander into like the living room and just start screaming, which sounds terrible, but I would do that. I would just be like groaning and screaming and crying, just standing in the middle of a room,
right?
And you know, if it's your kid, you'd kind of deal with it. But if it's your friend's, your kid, your son's friend, like, what the hell is this guy doing?
Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with him, but he's ruining my sleep.
Well, you learned in Step Brothers, you don't wake a sleepwalker.
It was kind of like that. It was kind of like that kind of sleepwalking is what I would do.
Yeah.
I was a mess at that age. I don't know what was going on. But I was wetting the bed a lot, and when I wasn't wetting the bed, I was getting up and wandering. And I don't think I ever went outside, but I would just, for a while, would just scream and cry in the middle of the house. I don't know what was going on.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just had the one time, remember I told you, I went to the bus stop like 2 in the morning.
Right.
And waited for the bus.
That's right.
I don't know if I had any other major things. My girlfriend right now, there's I think that she sleepwalks because this is the closest thing I have to a ghost that, you know how like the smoke alarm has that battery in it?
Yeah.
And when it starts chirping,
yeah,
you got to like unscrew the whole thing and then take the battery out.
Which is really like a fit in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
you just completely like take a bat to that thing.
Right.
Rather than like try and get out of the house, you just tee off on the fire alarm, pulling cords, batteries, biting things with your teeth.
Yeah. So we are away for the weekend. I come back and all of a sudden I notice that the thing is screwed out of the thing and then the battery is on my desk.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, hey, did the fire alarm go off? And she's like, oh, I didn't do that. And I was like, what do you mean?
Maybe you have a ghost.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was like, I go, there's two things. Either, you know, because she's like, I couldn't even reach that with the stepladder that we have. There's no way that I did that. And so I was like, all right, well, either you're sleepwalking and unscrewing this, or somebody broke into our house and unscrewed the fire alarm. Either way, we've got two issues on our hands. That, like,
either way, we've got to talk.
So,
well,
yeah.
Yeah, I think when you're drinking, I think a lot of times, I once was with a girlfriend of mine who would get drunk and do weird things, and we were at my friend's house, and sleeping in his room or his sister's room or something, and she just got up and opened the closet door, thought she was in the bathroom, and just peed on a pile of laundry. Got back to bed, went to sleep like nothing happened.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't about to clean all this laundry. And then the morning it was dry, and you could not convince her that that's what happened. She was just like, what are you, insane? No, I didn't do that. I would have remembered getting up and peeing on
her. And she's like, you did that.
Yeah.
Don't blame it on me.
Don't blame it on me. I think she was probably drunk.
It was before DNA evidence. You can't really prove with the urine stains.
So falling out of bed, 737, and then it jumps from that. This whole thing's starting to look fishy. Then it jumps from that to being shot by another American, 11,737. Now, that number could possibly be true. But that you're jumping, I mean, obviously this is something about gun rights because more than immigrants, I don't know. Who's putting this together? It's so hard to find out what the facts are now.
Did you ever see that documentary called The Staircase?
I'm going to cross-reference this. No, I heard that was good though.
That was one where, that's why I was talking about the stairs, because that's like kind of a known accident-prone thing.
Right.
And this guy was like, this guy's wife fell down the stairs and died.
Right.
And so they said it was an accident, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden they start uncovering these things. And then they find out 10 years earlier when he was in the army and based in Germany, he was married and his wife died and she fell down the stairs there.
Right. Yeah, just a coincidence.
So, yeah, that's
it
pretty crazy.
Yeah, it should be listed. All right, so that's at 11,000 gun deaths. Shot by another American, 11,000 annually. According to gunviolencearchive.org, they have 4,000 incidents, 1,000 deaths. That seems low. It's so hard finding real facts, isn't it?
Yeah. People don't trust Wikipedia either.
Here we go, 538. That's pretty reputable, except when they're trying to predict the elections.
I still want to try to find the flying lawnmower.
Now, this says more than 33,000 people are fatally shot in the U.S. each year.
How many?
33,000.
No way.
The interactive graphic is part of a project exploring more than 33,000 annual gun deaths in America. What it would take to bring the number down. So, your stories. Suicides, homicides,
suicide. Okay, yeah.
Accidental deaths. Shooting someone during Black Friday when you don't get the brand new
Xbox
cheaper than you thought. Fighting over parking spaces. No, 33,000. That's insane.
That sounds like a lot.
That's more than that other one.
But I do remember that, wasn't it Chicago's like 10,000 or something just in Chicago last year?
Yeah.
Something crazy like that. So maybe that's true.
Maybe. Gun homicides in Canada are about as common as deaths from alcohol poisoning in the United States. All right, now we're off on the internet.
Well, I think all you got to do is stay away from guns and lawnmowers, and you're pretty well set. You can live a relatively safe life if you just stay away from guns and lawnmowers. That's it.
Guns, lawnmowers, and toddlers.
And bed. Just don't sleep in a bed.
Don't sleep in a high bed. You got to get one of those cool low platform beds.
Yeah, just go back to the old days where you got the mattress on the floor.
Mattress on
safer.
The floor. I was thinking that the other day. Isn't it funny how we all live the same life like at different times?
Mm-hmm.
Like I was at my buddy's apartment and he's like 20 something. And you had all the same stuff he had at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You had the exact same apartment.
Right.
Like with the one pot, the one, you know, five forks, that floor lamp.
Yeah.
That you thought was cool because it could adjust, the halogen floor lamp next to the plant that is kind of dead but kind of alive.
Right.
You just keep it until you move. We all had the same exact stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it funny?
Yeah, that's the... Did you ever have the mattress on the floor?
Of course. My God. I thought it was cool. I thought it was really cool. It wasn't that I couldn't afford a bed. I was like, why would you buy a bed? Why would you need anything?
This is easier to move.
Yeah.
Did you have the one girlfriend that was like, yeah, you need to not do this.
You need to get elevated.
Yeah.
No, I think it was just when I got married.
I figured out myself, I had, you had it on the floor, and I just had orange juice on the floor too, you know? And I woke up, and there's just like black things swirling in it, and I was like, was I drunk? Did I put sprinkles in this or something, you know? And it ended up being ants, because ants came from, ants came from the floor and just climbed right into it. And it's like, oh, that's one downside of...
Of being on the floor with the ants.
You're close to wildlife.
I had mattresses like from my parents. I had futons. I had loft beds. That's worse than being on the ground, I think, being in a loft.
Yeah.
Having to take a ladder up to your bed when you're drunk in your 20s, that's not good.
Yeah, I had bunk beds.
Then maybe that's where all the bed deaths come from, people falling off lofts.
Yeah.
I definitely would have broken my neck a couple times if I didn't get lucky.
A bad ladder.
I'm excited to go to Minneapolis. This is good. Hey, we want to thank everybody for coming out to the shows in Napa and Livermore this weekend.
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about that a little bit.
That was really exciting. Those were good. That was good stuff.
You got two standing ovations.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
And we did an encore.
Yeah, we did a big encore. That was exciting.
You did a Q&A just because you were on adrenaline from your near-death experience before the show.
Oh, my God. I almost... Yeah, why isn't that down in the list of ways you could die?
Tell them what happened, Tom. Nobody knows what happened.
It's so stupid. Well, we're in Napa, and we're going to do the show, and you know, we're in show business. You enter through the stage door. You don't go through the lobby. Whoa, what was that? And so we go to the stage door, and this guy's like, Tom Papa, what'd he say, the man? Something
yeah,
like that.
We cross, because the whole thing is, you see the line of people in the front of the theater, which feels good, and it's happened a couple times where we've gone in. We've always tried to find, like, the night before, we just drove around until we found, oh, here's the cargo entrance.
Yeah, there's a stage door, which they bring the artists in, because you don't want to walk through the lobby. You're doing a show. You're not part of the audience.
Yeah. There's only one time we didn't find it, and I think we went through a wedding reception. Remember we were Raleigh,
North Carolina. Yeah.
We thought it was the back, but it was, like, an adjoining building, and we just walked through, like,
yeah, someone's
some
wedding.
Kind of wedding reception.
It was weird.
And then we had to walk in through the front with...
No one.
Everyone's going to the show and like, hey, we're going to see you.
It really ruins the effect. So this guy opens the door and says, Tom Papa, the man. And I'm like, thank you. And I thought to myself, wow, that guy smells like weed. And then the next thing I know, I am falling. There's three steps in the dark. I missed the step. I literally couldn't see anything. He opens the door to a black abyss. I start falling and stumbling, and I can't stop. I'm just now I don't know where I am. I'm picking up speed. I go into a curtain. The curtain is now on my head. I'm trying to grab it, so, hoping that it'll hold me up. I can't see. I literally don't know if I'm falling into the pit. I don't know what's happening. I think I'm dying. And then I come to a complete stop when I ram my knee into the steps, which, unbeknownst to me, is the side of the stage.
Yeah.
I twirl around up the steps, and they've already opened the house. There's people coming in. So here's the headliner, just nearly broke his neck and is now standing on the stage with his backpack. And there was an Asian couple in the middle just holding their cell phone up like, maybe we could take a picture of this idiot.
Well, you didn't see it from the back. Like, all I saw was you took one step, and I couldn't tell if you thought it was just going straight in or if there were steps there.
I thought it was going straight in. I didn't know it was just going to drop off. I literally just walked like I was walking onto the floor.
Yeah, so your foot looked like you're stepping. Like, you know how, like, there's a... In the cartoon, they just show them going off the ledge of the building.
Right.
And then they realize they're looking, and then you just go down.
That was me.
Yeah, and then you just grat, like, you're almost, like, kind of horizontal at one point, and you just reached out. And that huge curtain saved you. Like, you would have gone headfirst right into the stairs.
I know. If I didn't grab that curtain, I really would have been in trouble. But that was ridiculous. I mean, I smacked it so hard that my jeans had...
Yeah, your jeans had, like, a paint mark from where you...
from where I smacked. I can't believe my... I mean, it hurts a little, but not
nearly. You must have hit it a good spot, because that... Yeah, that should have been really sore.
It really... The next morning, I should have been black and blue and messed up, but I was... Right? But I'm like, wow, that guy smells like weed. Whoa! I'm dying. That was insanity.
Yeah, so that was pretty close.
I could have broke my neck.
It was close. That would have been the craziest show business death.
Now, the big thing that we were trying to figure out is, should I have sued them and take ownership of the building?
Yeah, and been the Tom Papa Theater.
I guess there was no real harm. You would have to show real harm. There wasn't real harm.
And it wasn't preventing you from doing the show.
Someone should have been fired, though.
He might have.
The guy, I don't know. They were all. It's so funny when stuff like that happens. Everybody's very careful to not take ownership of the responsibility for it. You know, everyone was just like trying to make jokes about it and keep it light. And like, this guy's not going to A, lose his marbles on us, and B, sue the hell out of us.
Right.
That, you know, and that happened to me once when I was in high school. I was working at UPS. Great summer job.
Oh, yeah?
I made, like, I don't know, 14 bucks an hour at the time, which was crazy money. And I would stand in the big freight trucks, like the big cargo trucks, and they would send packages on conveyor belts, and they'd come flying into the truck, and you had to load all the packages. You were just sitting there for hours and load up a whole, you know...
Truck, yeah.
Trailer, a whole thing. And there was a way that you packed it. It was, like, intense. Like, once that conveyor belt, bang, and the packages just came until you loaded the whole truck, and it was packed, packed, packed. So anyway, I'm in there, and I'm going 100 miles an hour. I'm in high school. I'm an athlete. I'm strong. I know what I'm doing. And there was a weakness in the floor of the tractor trailer, and my leg went straight through up to my crotch.
Oh, shit.
All the way up my thigh. And it's like, boom, like through the bottom and then pull it back up. And now I'm just bleeding down my thigh.
Oh, my God.
And they took me. I'm just young. I'm like, you know, I don't even know about suing people.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care about suing people. I don't want to be a problem. I just, I'm psyched for the job. They took me to all these rooms. They, you know, made sure I was okay. Then, like, two different executives took me into certain rooms to just make sure everything was okay and do all the protocol. I don't know if I signed something. I was just like, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. You know, I was used to playing football and stuff. And it's like, you know, so you lost a tooth. Who cares? You keep practicing. It was that kind of thing. So I was like, who cares? Come on, let me go back in the truck. Just being tough. And I realized, you know, quickly after, like, oh, I could have sued the shit out of UPS for putting me in an unsafe work environment and tearing my leg apart.
Right, right.
I wonder if I still have a little bit of the scar. I mean, it was a real cut.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So people get very, like, whenever people care that much about you, just realize you probably could sue them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Nobody really cares about you. No one really cares about your well-being. So if they're acting like they care, it's because they know that they're vulnerable and I could own UPS.
Right. It's like when the the foul ball goes into the stands and hits somebody.
Yeah.
And then they like start giving them like tickets and gloves and hats and all that kind of stuff. And then as soon as they start saying like,
yeah,
we're going to talk to a lawyer.
Yeah. And we're going to give you ice cream. You'll be happy. All right. So we're taking off this weekend. We're going to Minneapolis at the Bankhead Theater.
Yes.
And then we're doing, oh no, Bankhead Theater. I'm sorry. That was the show that we just did.
The Women's Club Theater.
The Women's Club Theater in Minneapolis. And then we're doing the, what's it called?
Sheldon Theater. Red Wing.
In Red Wing, where we're going to get some work boots. We got to get some work boots. How do we not get work boots in Red Wing?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Look it up. That's your research project.
That'll be my first pair of men's adult boots.
Because you were only in ladies' high heels up till now.
And sneakers. So any guess as to what the weather would be in Minneapolis right now?
I don't think it's as cold as normal. I think it's in probably the, I'm going to say low 30s.
All right. What we do know is on Friday, the high is 24.
Oh. And no snow till Saturday, though.
And the low is 11.
Oh, my God. I am not prepared.
So you are wearing at least a hat,
oh my
Mr. Papa, and some kind of a Teflon. You got one of those coats that looks like you're an igloo?
I don't. I don't have those.
Those really puffy ones.
I have a ski coat. Maybe I should bring that out. Matt Finn hit us on Twitter. He said, longtime listener, first time tweeter. Just got my first starter in the mail yesterday. Your Instagram got me going. And he shows me a picture of his sourdough starter. He is going to have bread so soon. You're going to be so happy. Good luck.
Ah, very nice.
Candace McGuire said, when your son makes brioche, you make brioche, right? Bread making is cool. And she sent me a picture of her brioche, which is really impressive.
What's brioche mean? I don't even know what that means.
It's kind of like that flaky, kind of like braided bread.
But is it sourdough?
You can make it with a sourdough yeast for sure, but I think it has like a lighter kind of egg component to it.
Now, can you make combos?
Like pretzel stuff with
yeah, can
peanut
you make
butter?
Sourdough combos?
Yeah, you can make those. No, all you like got to do is make the pretzel cheese. And stuff them with stuff.
and stale cheese and stale pretzels.
Let's see. You know, bread... Sourdough baking and bread takes up so much of my my feed because everybody is so inspired by the bread and they just love making the bread.
It's very picture worthy. You can always show
your
bread when it's done.
Great show last night. This guy said, great show last night. I thought the lefties near us were going to storm out when you made fun of people shopping Trader Joe's. It really is funny how people want you to be on their team.
Yeah.
Like, this guy thinks I'm a righty, so we're going to make fun of the lefties now. And then other people will make fun of the right and be like, I'm part of that team now.
Yeah, we don't like either one of you.
Yeah, exactly. We're comedians. We're not on teams. Yo Papa, Johnny P says, Yo Papa, you may have met your match. That's some sexy bread. And he showed me a picture of his bread, which it's not bad. But a little cocky, Johnny P.
Yeah.
It's, for my liking, it's not cooked enough. It's a little too, it looks undercooked to me.
He sounds like he watches Beat Bobby Flay a lot.
But good job, Johnny P. It looks like you're definitely on the way. Home, Bonnie Kate says, Tom, we're home and we are pants free. Tom Papa knows what's up. That's part of my act when I talk about how we just want to be home with our pants off.
And you got some new jokes, too, yeah?
A ton of new jokes. Yeah.
Lots of new stuff.
A lot of new stuff. It's not just the stuff in the special, so you'll enjoy it in Minneapolis. And go to TomPapa.com. You'll catch all of the rest of the dates. Go to Paul Morrissey. He has a website. Paul has a website.
Paul has a website.
.com for all of Paul's stuff. But we will be together for the next couple of weeks cranking it out. We've got some lots of fun shows coming up. And then I'm doing a couple of weird private ones, going to the Dominican Republic.
Whoa.
And going to Cabo.
Wow.
Yeah.
For Sammy Hagar?
I'm going to go Cabo Wabo. one last one. Kristen says, rye starter got moldy. Said, oh no, the papa died. She named her sourdough starter, her rye starter, the papa. And it accidentally told my kid their grandfather is dead.
What?
She said the papa has died. They call their grandfather Papa.
Oh,
so
no.
They thought that their grandfather died. That's the funniest bread one we've had so far. All right, guys. Go to iTunes and give us good reviews and like our little podcast, helping to spread the word. Thank you all for listening on whatever device that you are listening. Come to California, at least for the next couple of days. It's going to be 80 degrees. This is what California living's all about. And we're going to say goodbye to all of it to go see our friends in Minneapolis. What are we doing? We are givers. All right, everybody, that's it for Tuesday. See you next time. Enjoy your life.